This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, five reasons why Donald Trump's presidency will be unlike any other in the history of our nation. First, Trump versus the Constitution will likely be a continuous fight in his fight. In his first term, Trump was twice impeached but not convicted. In his second term, Trump's bravado-filled "dare me" attitude could again result in a grievous assault on the Constitution to achieve his political agenda, facilitated by the Supreme Court's controversial ruling on presidential immunity. So, Sandy, we constantly heard people talk about, the weaponization of our court systems against former President Donald Trump. You see any of that changing?
Well, I'm not sure that I think that what's going to happen is going to be a much more assertive effort on the part of the executive, Trump and the White House, to test the edge of the envelope in terms of the imperial powers of the presidency. So I think I predict that one of the earliest will be this power of impoundment. I'm confident that the president will attempt to announce that he will order the non-spending of money that has been authorized by Congress during the Biden administration. And we will immediately get a Supreme Court test as to whether the president has this power. So some of this stuff it's more the, I suppose, the weaponization of the effort to expand the power of the presidency, which will then get tested by the courts. And, this is done by various presidents, has been done over the years. I just expect after reading Project 2025 that it will be done far more aggressively during this White House. Because the whole object of Project 2025 is to create an imperial presidency, a president who is elected by the people, who has the capacity to essentially run as much of government as is possible directly.
Sandy, second, and as you stated earlier when we had this conversation, you think this is the most important. Second, Trump's 47 is saddled with more multi-layered business conflicts of interest than Trump 45. Worse, he has not promised to divest or withdraw from any of his companies or partnerships that could generate millions or even billions in profits from his administration's policy decisions. Why is that an issue, Sandy?
Well, I'm not sure it's an issue for Tom, Dick, and Mary in terms of their day-to-day lives, except for the sanctity of the U.S. government, because heading down the road of imperial corruption is the road that most third world nations exist in, and they only emerge from third world status when they shed imperial corruption. Okay, the corruption of oligarchy in Russia is what destroys Russia's capacity to emerge from its status as a weak economy into something that would properly reflect the scale of that country. And the whole reason they've never achieved that scale is imperial corruption. And so what we're watching now is the installation into our government of something which the people seem to be tolerating, which is imperial corruption. And that's the problem with it. We should have people who are pure with respect to the public policies that they adopt, pure of personal ambition and personal wealth building. But this is not the case at all. And this administration seems to think that it's something which they can announce publicly. And apparently the public is willing to absorb things which would seem scandalous if they were discovered. But if they are announced, not so much.
So, Sandy, help me understand. You're the barrister here. How is it possible that we went through this last 4 years with people accusing the Biden family of enriching themselves during the presidency of Joe Biden? And yet, Sandy, here we are looking at the prospects and the possibilities that Donald Trump is going to be able to really, like none other in history, increase his wealth exponentially.
Well, you know, it's because it's the difference between, like I said, discovering it or announcing it. The Trump administration and the Trump family has never minced words. You know, the Jared Kushner goes off and raises $2 billion from the Saudi Arabians after being involved in establishing the U.S. public policy with respect to Saudi Arabia. And that's okay. But the extent to which Hunter Biden's income from Burisma might have been connected to something associated with Ukraine was discovered instead of announced. And so I think it really has to do much more with that. And, you know, for some reason, our national view of things, it inoculates people against scandal to the extent that it is openly and notoriously carried out.
All right, let's go to Brian from Maguanago. Good morning to you, Brian. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. How are you all doing today, this Friday?
All right. Well, we're doing fine. Go ahead.
I just try to speed this up. I wanted to say something as far as the last time we spoke, Mr. Earl, and that is I had said that the Democrats are partially at fault for why we are here with the current situation with Trump and Project 2025 and all that. And you had asked me to elaborate, and I couldn't because I actually did have another important call coming in that I had to take. And so what I wanted to say was really simple. The Democratic Party forced Hillary Clinton on us. A lot of people wanted Bernie. A lot of people would have been, including those that voted for Trump, wanted Bernie. And there's a lot of people that voted for Trump in 2016 that said they were going to vote for Bernie, but the Dems forced Hillary Clinton on us. And that's the way I see it. I could be wrong, but that's just the way I've been viewing it since 2016.
So let me ask you, Brian. You don't see any difference in Bernie Sanders' beliefs and Donald Trump's?
Come on, man. I see differences.
Come on,
absolutely,
man. Completely.
What, you think Bernie Sanders is like Trump?
No. You are saying that the people who would have voted for Bernie Sanders decided to vote for Donald Trump. And I'm saying to you, how can that possibly be, man? Their policies are, you know, from the sun to Pluto.
Well, I do think that polling data did confirm what Brian has said, which is that there were people who voted for Trump who, you know, would have otherwise voted for Bernie. And I think it had to do with wanting to vote against the Washington norms, okay? And there are people, I think, who are upset with Washington norms and want to change it. I think Bernie Sanders has always been viewed as someone who would do that. But they're certainly coming at this from entirely different directions.
So, Sandy, I'm sorry, I don't understand. I have a problem with how things have gone. But to say that I would turn around and vote for a man like the man who just got elected, and we're talking about all of the warts and all of the things that he's going to do to burn down the government, Sandy, I don't see how, because I'm upset with the Democrats putting our nation in that kind of peril, makes any sense.
Well, I think the whole notion of the populist anti-establishment movement is fraught with this kind of lack of logic, okay? People who are against the establishment want to change things, and they aren't necessarily too discriminating about the direction in which they change it. And that's been the nature of the anti-establishment movements that have led to populist movements in countries throughout the world, throughout history. It creates very strange bedfellows, okay? And so it is true that to the extent that there might have been people who would have voted for Bernie and voted for Trump, that's a very strange bedfellow arrangement right there, because the two of them might be anti-establishment, but they're coming at it from totally different directions. Well, Trump and Sanders.
Well, I'm looking at Tony. He says it's the anti-system. That seems to be irrelevant to voters. But okay, so let's say, Sandy, I'm not one who loves the way the system has been running. But for heaven's sakes, as you always said, what are you going to replace it with? So if the answer is, okay, I'm against the system that we know, and a system that wasn't just created by Democrats, by the way. It is a system that includes both Republicans and Democrats, and both have been equal in the way the system has been run and opposed to the American people.
Yeah, but Donald Trump is not a Republican, right? And he's been viewed by all those who are MAGA Republicans as being an anti-establishment Republican. Establishment Republicans are rhinos, okay? And so this is an anti-establishment movement that Trump represents. And anti-establishment movements, the populist anti-establishment movements, have typically run in the direction of wanting an authoritarian figure, someone who is not in the establishment, who is going to run things and to stop the frustration that they have with, for instance, democracy as we know it. Okay. And so I think we have to understand that to some extent, Trump is running against democracy as we know it. For those of us who believe in the democracy and want it to operate better, but believe in it, he's a danger. For those who are frustrated with democracy and as we know it, those people think it's beautiful.
Yes, so they think Project 2025 is beautiful.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Come on,
that's
Sandy.
The danger. That's the danger of this is that people who are frustrated and have decided that they're anti-establishment will gravitate towards something that is probably far worse for them, but promises to be at least action of a nature that isn't occurring today.
Well, you know, the problem with that way of thinking, Sandy, is when we talk about anti-establishment, we're talking about anti-United States government. And that used to be something that people would frown on. But to publicly come out and say I'm anti-United States government is something now that seems to be acceptable in the society. Hold the thought,
absolutely.
Sandy. Hold the thought. And all of you, 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday, Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You know, Sandy, these last two tunes that you played are absolutely perfect for the subject, the conversation we're having right now. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. You know, Sandy, these text messages and the last caller that we had, I don't get this. You know, I mean, here's Tony. I think they just want to step. They just want step one to break the system. They worry about what step two is after step one happens. We've heard a lot about what step two is going to be, but we never get past step one. Tom, they don't believe that the problem is all that employees within the government. They believe the government that they see on an everyday basis is the problem. PJ, well, the DNC didn't want to let Bernie fix things and make life better for us. Then guess what happens? Trump happens, that's what. But Sandy, I for the life of me, again, don't understand. There was a time in my life recently that these would be anti-government kinds of thought processes. And even though our government has its issues, to say that it needs to be turned inside out and upside down, the way that that was always handled, Sandy, was through our election process. But to say that we're going to complete, that we should completely throw the government out and start all over again, not even knowing where we're headed or what the outcome's going to be, is fool's gold to me. I'm sorry, for whatever reason or rationale people have for feeling that way, it makes no rational sense, Sandy.
Well, frustration doesn't materialize itself in rational ways, I would guess, is the answer to that question. I think people, when people are afraid, people, you know, we have a large and highly stressed middle class, people who are financially between a rock and a hard spot, and are probably quite fearful. And people in that circumstance are fearful, and that fear can be turned into anger. And anger is frequently misdirected, right? Kicking the dog is a far more common experience than we would hope it would be. And so, you know, I think that those emotions have led people in the direction of wanting to thrash around and make things happen. And what those things are ill-defined. And I think the people who are hurting couldn't tell you what the remedies would be for their problem. They don't understand how to solve their budget problem, or how to solve the fact that they don't earn enough to pay their bills. When inflation came, there was something to point at specifically that they could become very angry about. And so that was a source of great anger during the Biden administration. But I'm afraid that what we've got is misdirected anger. And so these people, at least the people who would like to move in the direction of authoritarianism, want to change things, and Congress has been paralyzed for 30 years. So they're saying we'll get changed some other way.
Sandy, I'm sorry, I live in the same world as those people.
Well, okay, but that's why we're split down the middle in the country, because some people react to that differently than other people do, and I think what we're having trouble doing, those of us who didn't react in the anti-establishment manner quite as dramatically. What we're having trouble doing is projecting and understanding why these other people are conducting themselves as they are. But I think we're seeing it now, okay? And I think what's going to happen is that the manifestation of populist movements typically does not satisfy the people, okay? It doesn't inure to the benefit of the people. It hasn't in the South American countries where it's been common, and it won't here either. But unfortunately, the only way that we find out is the school of hard knocks.
Yeah, Sandy, I would understand it more so if there was a somebody on the other side of the equation other than a man who we know is there to benefit himself and his family. Openly, we know that. And not there to benefit the very people who want to see this change.
Well, you know, he's sort of an outcast, and has perpetuated the view of himself as an establishment outcast, and he's a celebrity outcast. And so, you know, celebrity outcasts, anti-heroes are pretty common in the world of animated comics, okay?
This is the real world.
But the anti-hero has become a very important part of our cultural, kind of the cultural blend. And I think that Donald Trump is, for many people, the anti-hero.
All right, let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
All right, so first off, when Bernie came on the scene, Bernie said that he was for Medicare for all. He was for college tuition.
Tom, hold on. Tom, let me do this, because we're so close. Hang on. 855-752-4842. Is the number. And it's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams. And, you know, we got a lot more to talk about. But I want to stay here for a moment, Sandy, because I think this is really a moment in time where this conversation needs to be meted out. And I get it. I understand, you know, the middle class and those things. I'm around a bunch of people who are Americans as well as the middle class who are angry because they are things aren't getting any better for them as well. And they're living way below the margin. And so they have something to say as well. And yet their voices aren't being heard whatsoever in this conversation. So I'm not saying I'm in that group of people who are upset. But my God, 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're sick and tired of your ism, schism, game, dine and go to heaven in the Jesus' name, Lord. We know and we understand, Almighty God is a living man. You can fool some people sometimes, but you can't fool all the people all the time. So now we see the light. What you gonna we gonna stand up for, all yeah, right? Yeah, so yeah. You better get up.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
The Eastern world, it is exploding. Violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating, but ya
tell me over and over and over again, my friend, how you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and a riveting discussion we are having right now. And so, guys, hang on the phone lines. We're talking, Sandy, really about, you know, a lot of different things, but at the root of all of them is, again, people who want to burn down the government as it is presently configured. And Sandy, you and I remember during the Vietnam War and other times, people who would say those things and respond in that manner were ostracized in this country. If you had those ways or those thoughts, Sandy, it was not accepted in our society. Do you remember those times?
Yeah, I mean, you know, those times were, you know, the establishment was the accepted norm, okay? And the establishment, you know, the problem was, I think, beginning with Ronald Reagan, the government, the establishment of government was under attack by those in government, okay? And
right.
So, you know, since it's been 40 years of this sort of movement in the direction of believing that government and when you talk about government as an entity, you talk about sort of a black hole, and it was the deep state. It was never the politicians themselves that were the government that was the enemy. It was always everyone who wasn't elected to office. It was the people who operated government who were the managers, the workers, the employees in government who were actually carrying out the functions of government, and somehow they got painted as the enemy. And by Grover Norquist, after Ronald Reagan and now by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans and the Tea Party as well. I mean, there's been a series of movements that were designed to be aimed at essentially strangling government because government was viewed as the enemy.
All right, let's go to Tom from LA. Go ahead, Tom.
All right, let me just riff here if I can. So when Bernie came on the scene, he kept his message simple. He did not triangulate his message. He said, tax the billionaires, Medicare for all, increase benefits for Social Security, free college education for all, no apologies to anyone, and a person who stood up to the average American. He spoke clearly.
Oh, okay, so Tom, we've got the phone lines are full, so we kind of want to expedite.
I understand. I'm gonna go through this quickly. So he spoke clearly and concisely. In fact, he, in a debate with Hillary Clinton, talked about how she took big money for speeches and uncovered the problem with billionaires. Donald Trump, first time around, said the same thing. He said, I have given all of you money in a debate with the Republicans, and I own all of you. He put, I am the person that stands for the average American. The difference is Trump lied to get into office using Bernie's policies like NAFTA and getting rid of NAFTA, getting rid of the TPP. Hillary was already the establishment candidate because she wouldn't talk about getting money out because she needed the donors for her campaign. Trump said he was against TPP and NAFTA, just like Bernie. Trump was and is bold, and Bernie is bold. Other politicians are too careful because they do not want to offend the donor class. I want to know what Sandy thinks of that.
All right, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Let me do Mike McCabe said on another show that Trump's voters see themselves in Trump's future and feel talked down by the Democrats. Nobody likes to be talked down to. I think that's a pretty simplistic response, to say that the Democrats talk down to people. And who talks down to people any more than Donald Trump? And so I'm gonna change our entire government because I feel like I've been talked down to.
Well, you know, that's people are trying to describe why they're reacting the way they are. But I think one of the establishments that Donald Trump is running against is the intellectual, the academic establishment, the intellectual establishment. And so I think that it's that establishment that this person is talking about, talking down to them. And I suppose it's mansplaining. It's this notion of that people who explain things to us are talking down to us. People who assume we know and declare things are talking to us. And so Donald Trump, number one, couldn't explain them, right? And number two, doesn't bother to explain it. He just announces that he's going to do whatever it takes. And for some people, that seems to be a compelling message.
All right, let's go to Ann from Chippewa Falls. Good morning to you, Ann. You say what?
Good morning. Yes, I see how this all has come about. And now people are going to, see how millionaires run the government. People just don't understand government. I know a lot of people in my area wear shirts that say our government sucks. They didn't even care who they're voting for. They just wanted a change from what's going on. But they're going to find a big change. And it's too bad, but I really believe, I have to believe that this awfulness, this stuff that's going to happen is going to turn people around to get our government back to where it needs to be, we the people. So that's where I stand with it. But I can see how people have been brainwashed into thinking Trump's going to change everything. Well, now we have Elon Musk in the government, and he's going to change things all right, and it's not going to be better for these people. And I, part of me does feel bad for them because when everything is reinforced about your belief, Fox News reinforced their belief, and social media, it all this messaging, nonstop messaging, has made people angry at our government. They're going to be more angry when they find out what's going to happen in their future. And I feel like it's going to get bad before it can get better.
Hey,
so thank you, Earl.
Hey, Ann, thank you very much, as always. Let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. I just want to start by saying the whole Bernie Hillary thing. Yeah, I was all for Bernie, and I really think he did kind of get screwed out of all that. But you're talking about, you know, surprised that people would say I'd rather vote for Trump than Hillary or what have you. Well, here's a perfect example. They're eating our dogs, they're eating our cats was a far stronger message than we want to help you buy your first home. That's just Trump in the media saying that she's stupid all the time. I heard lots of people saying, oh, she doesn't know anything she's doing. I don't have any faith in her, even though Kamala has worked in all three branches of government. And then I think the big problem with the Democrats and what we're saying, there's plenty of blame always to go around. But I think Merrick Garland is a big reason why we have Trump now. I think Merrick should have long ago, 2 years earlier, should have started this whole process with Trump and getting him prosecuted. Trump should be sitting in jail right now for the things he done. But once again, he is Teflon Don.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Eric from Tulsa. Good morning to you, Eric. You say what?
Good morning. Good morning. I feel as if there's like elephants in the room and nobody wants to talk about the elephants here. Because, again, I've talked about this after the election. Anybody walking around, especially, let's be honest, especially white folks, because we are the most influential, affluent, socioeconomic group of the whole country. For us to be talking about the economy is, again, a know-nothing party type of conversation. I mean, this was about protecting whiteness. They didn't know anything or care anything about what he's doing to the government. They just knew it was a white guy, and this black woman was going to prosecute this white guy if she won. I mean, it's why would black Americans, who Earl actually mentioned earlier, I hear all these folks talking about this stuff, and this is never brought up, but Earl talked about earlier in vague terms, why would the group of black Americans who are impacted more have less ownership, less business ownership, less generational wealth, higher poverty rates, higher unemployment rates? Why would they look at this situation and go, we're not voting for that dude. We're voting for the person who's going to look out for us economically. And why would all the other people that voted for the other side look at that same situation and go, eh, we're going to pick the crook? I mean, this is about protecting whiteness. You need to have shows about this. Someone needs to talk about this. We're talking around the truth here. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call, Eric. Sandy, you want to take a bite at that apple?
Well, yeah, I do think that tribalism has been, I think this whole notion of the immigration and the fear of immigration, the talk about pure keeping our blood pure was the most flagrant discussion of it. I think that we've had callers who've talked about how it is that white men seem to be in peril, that we've had interviews of young white men who talk about how they think that there's basically an assault on white men, that white men are the disfavored part of the population. So yeah, I think that there's clearly a flavor of that is behind the scenes here that has sort of, the attack on government has become a legitimate way of talking about doing things that actually might manifestly be driven by something else.
Let's go to Cassandra from Middleton. Good morning to you, Cassandra. You say what?
Hi, Earl and Sandy. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I watch the announcement of the leadership for the Congressional Black Caucus. And I just want to just briefly read you the statement for the new chair-elect Yvette Clark of New York, who is the daughter of Jamaican immigrants. And she says, in my capacity as chair, I will ensure that our caucus's goals are accomplished by focusing on voting rights, education, criminal justice reform, women's rights, healthcare equity, and economic equality. And here is the key that the Congressional Black Caucus received a message from the 22% that voted for Donald Trump. We must be attentive in completing our purpose of addressing and enacting promises and enacting policy to uplift our community and keep our promises. Now, Earl, I know you disagree with me on, and many of us who voted for Trump, but something needed to be done to shake up and wake up the Congressional Black Caucus. There are 62 members, the largest membership on record for the Congressional Black Caucus. They have the leverage to impede much of what Donald Trump wants to do. They have absolutely no excuses. And it might mean that they are going to have to vote against their colleagues within the Democratic Party. So I am looking forward to watching the situation.
Well, so Cassandra, I have to push back against you because, yes, they 62 members. The Democratic Black Caucus has fringe power. It has no power to enact or to force or bring major change to what happens in this society. If they had that kind of power, then over the decades, black people wouldn't be in the condition and in the situation that they are in and continue to be in this nation. And to say that this time around, they somehow are going to be able to have the power to change the trajectory of the direction of far too many lives in the black community in this country is not right, and it's not the truth, Cassandra. As long as black people only make up 12% of the overall population of this nation, it's always going to be a difficult transition period. I wish I had more time. 855-752-4842. Mike from Kenosha, hang on, and others. Sandy, I'll give you a shot on the other side. 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You say you want a revolution. Well, you know. We don't have to. Oh, Sandy, great, great music, Sandy. Man, it just fit the discussion. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show, as always, because we're at that point in time. You can join us at 855-752-4842. It's Friday. It means Friday is my co-host, Sandy. Sandy, the music.
Well, it's about big change. So should we be surprised? I started out with we shouldn't be surprised, and the rest of it's sort of about big change in government. What do we think about it?
All right, let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Good morning, guys. Happy Friday.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you know, and I want to touch on the talk down to crowd, okay? There are many of us who love digging into the weeds and exposing all the details and searching for the truth. But every time it seems that we try to then communicate that to members of this quote unquote talk down to group, you know, we get deer in the headlights look, you know, like they have no idea what we're talking about because they don't. The misinformation that has run wild for the last 40 years has just been over the top. My gosh, we know $50 trillion has shifted from the middle class to the elites, and with that $50 trillion transfer of wealth is also the tax base is suddenly much, much smaller. So, you know, when we talk about, you know, specific details like, you know, the transfer of $50 trillion and the fact that most of the burden of the tax is then, again, going to be dumped on the lower classes, the middle classes. You know, people don't understand that anymore. We have lost our way. There are the people, for whatever reason, when we get into the weeds, which is always where the details are. But when we get into the weeds of a good communication with people, we lose them. Their attention span, the critical thinking process seems to wane, and then they throw up their arms. Well, you know, it's too difficult to figure out. You know, it's over their head. So I'd like to just end it with this. The American people need to grow up and grow a pair. We need to insist on things changing. And if it takes millions of people walking in a purple line down Pennsylvania Avenue, all in unison, that's what it's going to take. It's not going to be one party or another that's going to save the day, quote unquote. It's going to be all of us. So I challenge the American people in the listening public out there to get involved with government, because you're not going to change it from the outside in. You change always comes from the inside.
Hey, so Mike, Mike, well said, Mike. Sandy, you want to respond to any of the callers that we just had? Just a plethora of callers.
Well, I mean, I think we're in the dark, touching an elephant, trying to figure out what we're touching in terms of figuring out what this animal is and why. One thing that he just mentioned is important, which is that the shift in wealth has also shifted the income to the top 1%. Well, the income is what gets taxed. So the top 1% is now running around saying we pay such a disproportionate amount of the tax that we shouldn't have to pay so much. But the fact is, the reason they pay a disproportionate amount of the tax is they are earning a disproportionate amount of the income. Okay, and they possess a disproportionate amount of the wealth, and that's why things have shifted in that direction. Their marginal tax rates for that group have actually gone down precipitously. It's just that the amount that they earn has gone up so precipitously that it's now funneled in that direction. No, I think that today's discussion is interesting because I think it is it's proof that we are in a dark room with an elephant. We can't figure out what the animal is, and we're each describing the part we're touching, and it's becoming more mysterious. How in the world and what in the world is this? But, you know, the lights are going to come on and we're going to find out. And I'm afraid for that moment, because I think there could be some good that comes out of the next administration, but I fear that what's much more in danger is the American process and the processes of government that are designed to protect us. For instance, having a government that has an announced intent to have a vendetta against those who are opposed to it, who are politically opposed to it, is a dangerous thing. And we can talk next week about this whole pardon issue and the what it is that it smells like and looks like. But we don't want to become a banana republic. We don't want to become a country with imperial corruption. And I'm afraid that much of what this administration is talking about is taking us more in that
direction. Sandy, our forefathers wouldn't have dreamt of us coming to a point where we're talking about this government must be reconfigured. It's not working for me. And so because it's not working for me, whatever it stood for, whatever it's been throughout all of these different centuries, and all the people who fought for it and died for it and bled for it, we're willing to throw that out, Sandy. That's the part I don't get.
Well, the people who failed us are our elected officials, and it's the elected officials who are now talking about attacking the other part of government, which is the deep state, right? Well, the deep state's a fun thing to talk about if you're an elected official, if you can deflect attention away from the fact that you're the part that has failed the American people.
All right, we got to go, Sandy. Thank you as always. Have a great weekend. See you on next Tuesday. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. Thank all you, the listeners. Up next, Jane Matinette, Greg Bach, Matinette on air. Enjoy a balmy weekend.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.